The words of God given to us today are Acts chapter 13, verse 13 and 14, New Testament, page 209. From Paphos, Paul and his companions sailed to Perga in Pamphylia, where John left them to return to Jerusalem. From Perga, they went on to Pisidian Antioch on the Sabbath. They entered the synagogue and sat down. Cyprus Island was the first destination of Paul's mission, and it marked a major turning point in Paul's life. From Paphos of Cyprus Island as the starting point, Paul had been called no more Saul as a symbol of pride in the Bible, but Paul as an epitome of humbleness. And from then on, he has emerged as the head of mission team. Paul finally started living a life of his own in Paphos of Cyprus, which we know it as his life. It was not because of his power or ability, but of the Spirit of God that was working through Paul when he entrusted his life entirely to him. As head of the missionaries, Paul with Barnabas and their attendant John sailed from Paphos of Cyprus to Perga in Pamphylia. Pamphylia, a province belonged to the Roman Empire at that time, was located on the coast of the Mediterranean south of Turkey, and Perga, one of the region's major cities. To get to Perga, it will take about 10 kilometers ride further to the inland from the Turkish port city of Antalya nowadays. But 2,000 years ago, Paul's entourage went on board to Perga, sailing on Sestrus River, which links Perga and the Mediterranean. Today's text reveals what was happening in Perga after their arrival. From Paphos, Paul and his companions sailed to Perga in Pamphylia, where John left them to return to Jerusalem. Upon their arrival in Perga, John, attendant of Paul and Barnabas, left them for some reason. John did not return to Antioch Church, where he departed from, but went back for all to his hometown, Jerusalem. Considering the act of John as such brought about later a separation of Paul and Barnabas for a while, it was going away without notice from the team while they were in Perga. In a word, John was an irresponsible, foolish young man who threw away his duty as an attendant like an old shoe. The careless young man is John, also called Mark, cited in Acts chapter 12, verse 12. The Roman name of young man called John in Greek was Mark. During the sermon today, let me call him Mark, which is more familiar to us. As we already knew, Mark is son of Mary, the rich of Jerusalem, and cousin of a former head of the missionaries, Barnabas. Mark later realized his wrongdoings, became a loyal worker of Paul and Peter, and went far as to write the book of Gospel, Mark. It was not to mention, because of the grace of God, who helped the worthless, foolish man stand upright eventually. Now, here is one very important thing we shouldn't overlook. Every time we confess the grace of God who helps a worthless man stand upright, it should be done to praise the love and mercy of God for the foolish, not to justify ourselves for our worthlessness and foolishness. Let us think about the case of Mark. Careless Mark, who went away without notice, Mark, fortunately, however, later he became an instrument of God eventually, thanks to God's grace. In this despite, if he tried to justify his foolishness as God's will, not realizing his foolish past or continuing foolish life of his own, was it possible for him to become Mark as whom we know currently? Although he once was careless and thoughtless, he finally became the author of the book of Gospel Mark. It was possible that he realized the love of God who endures him constantly and responded to his love properly to become his instrument. For those who do not know God, it is indeed a wonderful thing that he can live due to God's grace, a life of his instrument through which God's love and life will flow. Mark, however, knew God from the beginning. He was raised in a family of believers and became a member of Antioch Church when he followed Paul and Barnabas to Antioch. Furthermore, he was selected as an attendant of first missionaries dispatched by the Antioch Church. No one doubted that he knew God and was a chosen young believer. Nevertheless, he went away from the team without notice in Perga and threw away the most precious time of his life in vain. Life is not eternal at all. The span of life made up of each and every second of time is meant to come to an end someday by all means. Except for those who do not know God, if at least he received the call of God and grace of God, he should not repeat the foolishness by throwing his life away meaninglessly. Only those who walk along with God and become his instrument will be able to become a qualified Christian who can save each and every second of time to the eternity from just passing by. From this viewpoint, Mark, at this scripture text, teaches us not to do so as we want to lead a life of true Christians for the entire life. There are a variety of views as to why Mark neglected his duty in Perga and went away without notice. As mentioned earlier, Mark was cousin of Barnabas. In the Korean Bible, Mark is translated as nephew of Barnabas in Colossians chapter 4, verse 10. But in the Greek original, Anepsios means cousin. When the group of missionaries, including Paul, Barnabas, and Mark, departed from Antioch, the team was headed by Mark's cousin Barnabas, who was chief pastor of Antioch Church. In the middle of mission trip, however, Paul emerged as a team head, passing Barnabas. For this, Mark, cousin of Barnabas, had complaints and quit halfway through. That is one opinion. Meanwhile, Perga, located on the coast of the Mediterranean, was suffering all types of epidemics due to its low-lying land geographically. Especially, malaria hit the area severely. Mark was so scared at it that he ran away. That is other opinion. Born and raised in a family of the well-to-do, Mark failed to endure bad environment and homesick and ran away. That is another opinion. Here, we need to confirm what the text testifies. Look at verse 14. From Perga, they went on to Pisidian Antioch. On the Sabbath, they entered the synagogues and sat down. From Perga, Paul and his companions went to Pisidian Antioch, located at Highland. Perga is located around 200 kilometers away by today's road from Pisidian Antioch. When you follow that road, you can easily predict why Mark turned away from that road to go back home. First, mountain towers should be crossed in order to get to Pisidian Antioch, located in the south of Mount Sultan. Widely known for unfriendly mountain range, Taurus is the nest for robbers and bandits. Regular people to cross the mountain meant gambling their own lives and possessions that they were carrying. Leaving the robbers and bandits aside, the road to cross the mountain towers on altitude of 2,000 meters above is so dangerous and rough even today. It takes 3.5 hours to cross the 200 kilometers road by riding a car, and also causes passengers sitting behind the wheel undergo car sick. To say nothing of a hardship faced to cross the mountain range 2,000 years ago, one cannot imagine the hardship they went through. Therefore, we can easily predict that Mark, who was raised in a rich family without doing any dirty work, was frightened by the way to mountain towers and took an action of leaving without any notice. However, whatever the reason behind Mark's leaving, the most important matter is that Paul and Barnabas went on that rough road which scared away Mark without giving up. In Acts chapter 13, verse 5, appointed Mark as Paul and Barnabas attendant. The word attendant is the translation of the word hypeletes, which originally describes a slave rowing at the bottom part of the ship. In battleship of Rome, rowers would sit down in a row on the bottom part of the ship. Rowers could not see the outside, and they did not need to see the outside because whether for the ship to go east or west was the decision of a captain, not theirs. Their only duty was rowing with their full strength according to drummer's pace of hitting the drum. Mark was like one of them, Hypeletes. Choosing the next destination as Pisidian Antioch, located beyond the rough and dangerous mountain Taurus, or his home at Jerusalem, was beyond his duty. His only duty was to follow wherever Paul chose to go, and looking after Paul with his utmost. However, he ignores Paul's decision of choosing the next destination as Pisidian Antioch, located beyond mountain Taurus, and went back to Jerusalem. Overwhelmed by the splendor of mountain Taurus in front of his eyes, and forgot his duty as a Hypeletes, meaning he also forgot about God who is always with him, and called him as Hypeletes. Therefore, what is shown through Mark in today's scripture, no matter how great your faith is in God, if you do not recognize and realize God's presence with you all the time, no matter what the situation is, that person is incapable of being a channel for God's love. Leaving Antioch was not chosen randomly by Paul and Barnabas and their Hypeletes Mark. Look at chapter 13, verse 2 and 3. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Paul's team leaving Antioch to be a channel for God's love and life to the world was the answer of prayer guided by the Holy Spirit. Of course, Mark, who was Antioch church's member at that time, was also a prayer partner. Mark, becoming a Hypeletes of Paul and Barnabas, was guided by Holy Spirit. Then Paul and Barnabas, how much would he pray for Paul and Barnabas, who guided him from Jerusalem to Antioch, and who he was going to serve? How much would he pray and seek for humbleness and God's help to successfully fulfilling the duty of the Hypeletes? However, at a decisive moment, he lost his own identity of being a Hypeletes. And as a result, he threw away his life for a while. And at the same time, separation from Paul and Barnabas. If Mark kept his identity as a Hippolytus, then he would not resort to the foolishness of hurting himself and others. Unlike young adult John, who gave up easily of being a Hippolytus in front of mountain towers, Paul was in his 40s at that time. Considering the lifespan of Roman Empire's citizens being 50s, in 2,000 years ago, at that time, Paul already was way over the middle age. Then, mountain Taurus given up by Mark would be more tough for Paul, who is much older than Mark, and it would be an obstacle for Paul. And Paul should be the one who should have given up before than Mark. However, old Paul and Barnabas together never gave up on the mountain that was turned down by young adult Mark. Paul was able because he never forgot his identity of being Lord's Hippolytus in that situation. He testified God's words to call him from Damascus to King Agrippa's latter years as following. Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. When Lord called Paul from Damascus, he was not a righteous man or a saint. He was a rioter who trampled on church and stand against the Lord. Nevertheless, Lord called him to appoint him as his servant. The word servant here is a translation of Greek word Hippolytus. From then, Paul never lost his own identity of being Lord Hippolytus during his entire life. Through 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, he testifies, "So then, men ought to regard us as a servant of Christ and as those interested with the secret things of God. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful." Paul confessed that he was the servant of the Lord. The word servant is Hippolytus in the original text. Paul did his best to be Hippolytus as much as other people consider him Hippolytus. Only thing he could do was being faithful to the Lord. It was like Hippolytus of Roman battleship rowing toward where the captain lays to. Mountain Taurus was not high enough for Paul to turn away from it. So it was unacceptable for Paul to see Mark, who forgot about his identity as Hippolytus and went back, because he thought that mountain towers was too rough and high for him. As long as the Lord commands him to go to Pisidian Antioch over mountain towers, Paul had to overcome any troubles before him faithfully to be the channel of his love and life. Like this, since he was called by God on the way to Damascus, he had never betrayed like Mark did in the critical moment. It means that he never forgot that God who called him his Hippolytus was with him under any circumstances. Otherwise, he couldn't have been able to accept his death of being beheaded. What if Mark hadn't made the stupid mistake and had been with Paul as his Hippolytus until he died? Needless to say, he could have been honored to be the writer of Acts. Is there more honorable thing to man than becoming a writer whose work will be part of God's word in the eternal book, the Bible? The house of Mark in Jerusalem had been the place where the members of First Church prayed together since Jesus ascended. The Holy Spirit also came down to them at this place on the night of Pentecost. Mark witnessed what happened in person at his house. He saw how the Holy Spirit worked through Antioch Church, the first church in the territory of Gentiles, when he went down to Antioch with the special consideration of Paul and Barnabas. He was chosen as God's Hippolytus and witnessed the life work of God. He did through Paul and Barnabas in the island of Cyprus. If Mark had not forgotten about being God's Hippolytus, there wouldn't have been more qualified person to be the writer of Acts than Mark. Mark, who made the foolish mistake, was only able to write the Gospel of Mark, the shortest Gospel, and the honor to be the writer of Acts went to Luke, who joined Paul much later than Mark did. Luke could be honored to be the writer of Acts as well as the Gospel of Luke, the longest Gospel, by not forgetting about being Hippolytus. What if Paul had forgotten about being Hippolytus when he faced unwanted situation like being overwhelmed by the splendor of mountain Taurus? It wouldn't have been possible for Paul to be the instrument of renewing the history of a human being, not to mention of being honored to be the writer of one-fourth of New Testament. We can learn an important lesson here. Only those who believe that God is with them anywhere and any time are able to live as Hippolytus and live as noble Christians who let God's love and life flow through themselves under any circumstances.
하나님의 사랑과 생명을 세상으로 흘려보내는 품격 있는 삶으로 살 수 있다는 것입니다. 바꾸어 말씀드리면 어떤 상황 속에서
to live as noble Christians,
하나님의 생명을 세상으로 흘려보내는
you should not forget your identity as Hippolytus, and it is possible only when you are aware of God's presence with you, even in unwanted situations, in any circumstances. Mark, when he arrived at Berga and overwhelmed by Taurus Mountain, and forgot about his being God's Hippolytus. As a result, he wasted his days of youth. Meanwhile, even though he was about to be beheaded, because he never forgot about being Hippolytus, Paul is still alive as a noble Christian who let the love and life of God flow to the world through the New Testament he wrote. Matured faith, sincere life as a Hippolytus, all these things
언제 어디서나 하나님의 사랑과 생명을 세상으로
including the nobility of Christians are achieved only when we are aware of God's presence with you.
함께 하고 계시는 하나님에 대한 깨어 있음으로부터 시작됩니다. 내가 어느 곳에 있든
without intuition of being aware of God's presence with you,
통찰력을 지니지 않고서는
it is impossible to live a life of Hippolytus. Through the training of learning God's word and prayer, it is to learn the intuition of being aware of God's presence with us. Therefore, there is no way to love yourselves more and renew this world more than being aware of God. Being aware of God who is with you,
하나님에 대해 깨어 있는 것은
as putting your life in the glory of God. God is not far away from you. He's with us right now, always. Let's pray. Thank you for letting us realize that faith starts by being aware of God in any circumstances. Let us not forget that you are with us anywhere, anytime, whatever situation we are in, and even when we are in unwanted situations. Please let us remember that you are the one who leads us. Let our lives be Genesis, the starting point of being aware of your presence with us as we study your words and pray. Let many people be exodused from the bondage of sins and death through our lives by being aware of God's presence with us. Let every detail of our lives, being aware of God's presence, be the offering of Levi. Let our lives be the Bible to people in this world and be acts that renew the world. Thus, let us relish the joy of living as Propertius, with nobility and letting love and life of God flow into the world in any circumstances. Amen.